Welcome to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favourite streaming platform. Welcome to the show, guys. Today we've got Anthony Mayer with us. Anthony is VP of Engineering at GetSafe. Great to have you join us today, Anthony. Thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot to talk about, and you've got a very interesting career history and past, which we'll get into in a little bit. But, you know, to get us started, to get the ball rolling a bit, in a nutshell, could you give us a bit of insight into what service GetSafe provides and what your role as VP of engineering entails there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, GetSafe is a modern digital insurance company. You know, we're trying to make insurance a lot better than it's been. So we provide, we're currently live in Germany and the UK. And, you know, our main focus is things like home insurance. In the UK, we have contents insurance. In Germany, it's broken up into a few different insurance categories. Last year, we also launched with car insurance. And the idea is just, you know, we make it really, really easy to buy and manage your insurance. And then if, you know, unfortunately things do happen, that's why people have insurance, mm-hmm. right? Then we need to go file a claim. That's really easy too. And the process is as easy as possible. So we just keep trying to push forward and you know, see how we can keep making insurance easier and better. Yeah. And to kind of my role, you know, I oversee our software engineering department. So currently that consists of a little over 20 software engineers. And it's kind of a varied role, you know. Generally speaking, my job is to make sure everything is going well in the team. We're moving forward appropriately, and that you know we are aligned with other parts of the company, right? With you know, our closest partners, our product management and design, but also with different parts of the business. You know, as we do different business development opportunities and things, and making sure they're kind of all working smoothly and on target.
Just to touch upon your kind of history a little bit, you've got a really interesting history. So you've moved from Silicon Valley in the US, which is like the forefront of technology, like cutting edge, world dominating space, to like a very rural German, what would you call it, village or what even is it?
It's a little more than a village. It's a large town, small city, something like that.
Okay. So what inspired that move? I mean, I would love to do that, but I don't have the guts.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I'm actually originally from here. I'm actually at home today. So, you know, I think most people still are, but we've actually started going back to the office, GetSafe. But I'm at home today. Yeah, I'm originally from this area. My family has lived in this area for a long time. I kind of a mixed American and German family. And when I was about 6 years old, I moved to the US. I went to school there, grew up there for the most part, but always a little bit back and forth, and went to university, and then, you know, got my first job in Silicon Valley, working for a startup. I was there for a few years, worked at Yelp for a few years. And then this remote trend started really taking off. And I actually, first I worked remotely within the US. And then I decided that I'd really love to move back to Germany, where I'm from. And luckily, my company at the time was able to make it work. I worked shifted hours. But actually, when I originally moved here, I had full intention to continue to be very connected to Silicon Valley and continue to work for companies based there, just remotely. Yeah, and that's how it happened. So, you know, I was still very much connected. And then I happened to basically find GetSafe in the area, and I couldn't resist an opportunity to work at a real startup. There were definitely have been in the area small little attempted founded companies and stuff, but to really see a startup that's really taking off and doing well and operates exactly the same as startups do in Silicon Valley, I had to jump at the opportunity. Yeah. So that ended my remote career then. So,
I mean, there's one thing I want to ask is about Silicon Valley. I mean, you know, I don't work in technology myself. So all I see about Silicon Valley is like, I don't know, it just looks like a different world. You know, I mean, And there's obviously, the sitcoms about Silicon Valley, like loosely based around Silicon Valley. And I don't know what to believe, to be honest. So what's it actually like there?
I think it varies. I mean, I think most people live fairly normal lives. I mean, it's true, you know, rents are absurd and a lot of things are very expensive. But I mean, most people are just, you know, living their lives and doing a job. I think what's very exciting being in the tech industry, right, is the difference is a tremendous number of the people you meet, a third at least, are either directly working in tech or working in something related to tech. And that's very exciting, right? Because, if you're working at tech and another place, you know, that's something I deal with now, right? Living more in rural Germany, not as many people are, you know, they know what startups are, they know what tech companies are, but they can't relate to it. And there's definitely something exciting about everyone you meet, everyone you go to dinner with is related to a startup in some way. And it's, but it also means it can be difficult to disconnect from work altogether as well. So,
yeah. And you know, because when you left Silicon Valley, you were working remotely initially. And I mean, what's your opinion on this? I mean, do you think that Silicon Valley, because that's all kind of physical, but nowadays a lot of the tech industry is moving remote and there's a lot of benefits and reasons why people are doing that. Do you think that Silicon Valley's got, you know, it's still going to be here in like 10, 15, 20 years time, or is it just going to be sporadic around the world?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's actually interesting because I was talking to a friend about this just yesterday. And I think Silicon Valley is going to continue to be what it is for a long time to come. I don't know, you know, how long. I think partially just because you do have this critical mass of people, right? Like I said, you know, people you meet, your friends and everything all work in tech, and that makes it easier to found new startups or, you know, but I think as time goes on, it is spreading out, right? And I don't even think it's so much remote. It's almost like the democratization, if you will, outside of Silicon Valley, right? Yeah. Everywhere, every city in the world now, basically, with a few people, has some sort of startup club or people who want to be founders or something, right? This is something people everywhere want to be. So it's becoming easier to find those people wherever you are. And, you know, with remote work and the internet, you can also start, you know, you can found a startup with somebody who's living across the planet if you want. Yep. So,
yeah, it's amazing. It really is, like, it's food for thought, isn't it? And isn't there, you know, I've heard, I don't know if they're rumors or, you know, I've not done proper research here, but isn't there kind of a new Silicon Valley that's formed out of like three states? Is it Texas? Is one of them maybe? I'm not sure about this.
No, I mean, everybody's always trying to be the new Silicon Valley. I think that's been happening for a while.
It could be rural Germany, you never know.
Well, I don't think it's quite so much rural Germany, but, you know, I think definitely in Germany and Europe in general, there's a lot more ahead of us and a lot of potential, right? I think we're in that exciting growth phase that a lot of startups want to be in, but I think we're in that phase as kind of a tech area and scene. And I think, you know, you see it, there's just more and more emergence, and every day you hear about a new German startup that's raised a major round or something. And it's very exciting. And, you know, it's one of the things that drew me to kind of say, hey, maybe it is time to be part of the German tech scene, because there's a huge amount of potential to be had here. So,
yeah. I mean, how old is GetSafe? How long has it been in existence for?
Yeah, so GetSafe, I think technically it's like 6 years old, but it's gone through a couple of transformations. So with the current business model has been around since, I believe, the end of 2017. And so in that sense, fairly, you know, about 4 years old in that way. So still growing and learning, but we're really going through a big growth phase right now.
Amazing. You mentioned in the introduction that you make insurance simpler for people. And I'm just curious to find out what GetSafe does to do that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is putting everything straightforward right at your fingertips in an app, right? You have the ability to kind of anytime look at the information, study it, right? You're not dependent on a broker you have to go talk to and has to explain everything to you. And if you forgot it all, well, you just have to trust them. Mm-hmm. You know, we put it all right there in front of you. And in fact, we see a lot of usage at what you might consider odd hours for looking at insurance, you know, middle of the night, people are reading on the app, right? Because that's when they have the time to really go deep into the information. And I think that's one of the biggest ways. And the other thing is, because it is a digital experience, we can continue to iterate and optimize what users are seeing and making it easier and easier, right? So if we know that users are struggling with a certain thing or they don't understand an insurance product, we can very quickly update something and improve it. And we're doing that constantly, not just with our experience, but also our insurance products themselves. We have a tremendous amount of data that we can then use to say, hey, what are the things that are causing our customers problems, not with the app itself, but actually with their insurance, right? What's making it not the right insurance product for them? And where a large, older insurance company might need several years to roll out a new insurance product, we can roll out a new insurance product. And if it's a smaller change, a matter of days or weeks, and it's a larger, totally new insurance product, we can do that in a matter of months.
Mm, amazing. And I mean, I've had a few people who, work in this space on the show, and they seem to think that insurance has been quite slow on the uptake. It's one of those industries that's quite slow on the uptake with new technology. And first of all, do you feel that as well?
Yeah, I absolutely think that's true with traditional, insurance companies. I think, it's interesting because a lot of them have some of the oldest tech systems around, kind of like banks, because they've been around so long. But I mean, we have, insurance companies that are 150 plus years old, right? That, are still actively, actively in business today, right? So it's difficult. It's not just a technical problem. It's not just having the right technologists. It's a massive business history. You can't just snap your fingers and update and move forward. And GetSafe, on the other hand, is being built from the ground up through technology, right? And through technology that we intend to evolve and build upon, right? So in that sense, our technology systems can't, by definition, get as out of date as the ones that these older companies do, where making a small change might require them, months or years of work because they need to deal with some legacy system from the 80s.
Yeah, you're right. And, in terms of like traditional industries like insurance and banking, I've had, people have said in the past that nowadays, especially in these traditional industries, that a lot of new firms see themselves as a tech business that does, say, for example, banking, or a tech business that does insurance, rather than an insurance industry that has an insurance company that does technology. I mean, is that the way you see yourself at GetSafe?
I think it's it's not something we've defined as such. I mean, I think we see the two going absolutely hand in hand together. I think we see ourselves as an insurtech company, right? That's why that term exists, right? The one is impossible in this case without the other, right? We're not just jumping onto the next business problem if the insurance doesn't work and doing something else. And, we're not going to ditch the technology for paper if it means something harder, which I don't think it would. But, it's absolutely the two combined for us. So
I'm really interested in, how you stay motivated in your job. I mean, like in your career, I mean, do you have any morning routines that get you up and going? I mean, is there any kind of secret things that you have?
I don't think I have any major secrets. I'm actually, I'm honestly not that much of a morning person. So I'm generally trying to stay in bed as long as I possibly can before I have to get myself ready and out the door in front of the desk. But, I do try to, read the news, both tech and non-tech news every day to kind of stay up to date with what's going on in the world and knowing what the latest trends are. That's something I do pretty consistently. I really enjoy doing the New York Times crossword puzzle, but that's all just to wake up. I don't think it's a particularly secret technique. No, and I think it's really more just about kind of throughout my day trying to keep the right mindset, how I'm going about dealing with problem situations and trying to frame them as opportunities and seeing how we can use those things and move forward, right? I mean, the reality of startup life is things move very, very fast and often are unpredictable. And we can decide, oh, hey, we're just refusing to acknowledge it. But oftentimes, if we take the unpredictable and make the best out of it, we can actually get ahead even further. So that's always what I try to look to do throughout my day.
And, you know, in terms of like resources, you mentioned reading the news and various other things to kind of learn about the technology, but is there any other resources that you particularly rely on to keep you ahead of the curve in technology? I mean, some people are avid podcast listeners, as they should be. but what about you?
I think, you know, I love Hacker News. It's where I get to see a lot of what's going on, where some of the latest startups are launching and things are still often happen is, you know, are being announced there is happening there. And, you know, you can get lost in it. Not everything's great on it, but there are a lot of gems. And in general, I believe in trying to hit up as many sources as possible, generally speaking, because that's how I can kind of get the broadest information set. Oftentimes, I'll see that there's some new, you know, insurtech or fintech or something startup announced or funding or something. And I'll try to read about that from two different news sources to see, you know, what the take is. And if I can, I even try to read about it from like a non-tech news source, if it's large enough, right, to see what kind of the non-tech perspective is. So, but yeah, I don't have any like one news source where it's like this is my one and only thing I read and kind of as my source of truth. I like to take a little bit from everywhere.
Cool. And you know, you're leading a team of 20 engineers, I think you said.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in finding out who motivates you. I mean, is there any leaders that you look up to and kind of take inspiration from? Is there any particular leaders that inspire you?
That's a great question. I wouldn't say in terms of public figures, there's one person I look up to and say, hey, this is my role model for how I want to be as a leader. I think also there, everything in moderation, Jeff Bezos, who just stepped down. I think there's some great things that come from him. I think, you know, there are things you hear about that Steve Jobs used to say and stuff. And I try to kind of keep that in mind, but no, you know, one person who I do look up to is my former boss. He's the EVP of engineering at Nextroll today, and actually was also my boss at a previous job, Patrick Mee, and learned a lot from him over the years. And also like everybody else, right, take what he says and also take it in moderation and learn and see how we can move further. But he's definitely been a great role model for me.
If you can think back to the start of your career, is there anything that you wish you were told back then that you've had to go on and learn the hard way?
It's interesting because I actually almost didn't go down the startup path, and I'm really glad I did. But I think it would have been great if somebody had told me more about how exciting startups and, can be and what the possibilities are. But luckily I got to learn that for myself, and there were a lot of opportunities. But I think when I originally graduated college, it was still, startups were definitely a thing. You had large tech companies that formed out of them, but it wasn't like where everybody wanted to go coming out of school. They were looking to go to the larger companies. So I think, like I said, I managed to find that out myself, and I very quickly learned that that's where I wanted to be. That's where it's fun for me, where I can learn a lot and grow a lot. Definitely wish somebody had told me that. Other than that, I think nothing in particular comes to mind, right? Just always trying to learn, take in new information, and
So GetSafe is very much a startup business. And can you kind of paint a picture of what it's actually like? I mean, for us people that don't really know the startup world too well. I mean, is it what you see on TV? What's it kind of like? Is it working till, 4 in the morning and then getting noodles and then getting a taxi home? Or
I think GetSafe is past that phase. I'm sure there was a phase that was like that. I mean, there are definitely nights where we work late. But I think most people would say they enjoy it and they're excited about it, right? I mean, part of what I enjoy about the German tech scene versus the American is Germany in general has a strong respect for work-life balance already out of the box, which comes through. And I think it helps a lot, and, a lot more respect for people taking time with their family and that kind of thing, which I think in the US is coming. And I think a lot of the startups have now themselves taken on, but it's not necessarily been built into the American work culture for a long time. So, you know, I think I'd say if we work, you know, maybe a little longer than normal hours, and we just try to be smart about how we do it. And, you know, then the occasional longer evening, but mostly it's how can we get the right team together to work, you know, efficiently and push us forward, and how do we use the options that are in front of us to kind of achieve the success we're trying for. It's not about working anyone to death, because, well, they're going to burn out at some point. Yeah. And that doesn't help anybody either.
Have you ever experienced burnout in your career?
I think I've been close to it and managed to avoid it. You know, I think early on, I would always just keep working regardless. I'd stop work at 7, eat dinner, and then just keep working, because that's just kind of what I did. And at one point I realized, okay, this isn't sustainable. That doesn't mean if I, you know, that I can't sometimes keep working because I feel like it, right? But mm-hmm. that I don't have the obligation to. And I think that was one of the things that was really important to me. I love my job. I put my full self into my job, but at the end of the day, it is just a job in that sense. And, you know, it's important to find that balance. So I think, I've a couple of times kind of approached it and realized, okay, now is kind of the time to step back and figure out how I balance things and what do I need to do differently to avoid this problem.
Yeah, it's balance, isn't it, at the end of the day? But it's weird when I imagine that if you're in that world, and, you know, say if you're at a young startup and it is all hands on deck almost all the time, it must be so difficult to see when things are getting too much. And, you know, and then it
absolutely.
And then I hear it comes kind of out the blue. It almost like it happens without realizing, you know, and that's quite a scary prospect, really.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I think it's something I was lucky enough to realize fairly early on in my career. And I actually even rejected several jobs because I saw that the culture was still like that. And it was interesting because the company, one of the companies in particular, actually took that as a reflection moment for themselves and said, oh, maybe we don't want to be like this. You should still join us and try to help. And it's like, well, that's great, but that's a cultural thing. You can't just change overnight, right? So, you know, where they, for them, it was totally normal to work 14-hour days. And that was just standard what everybody did. But hey, at least we all get dinner together. And I said, no, that's not for me. So, you know, and some people, you know, I think there's a phase in life where some people just want that, right? I think they want their work life to also be essentially their fun and family life, if
100%,
you will.
So, yeah.
And I think there is something really fun that can come of that. And for some people, it's sustainable longer, and others it isn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe just to wrap up, actually, Anthony, is there any advice that you give to someone who's just getting into the industry as an engineer? And, you know, maybe like something that you'd tell them early in their career that might be able to help them out down the line?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problems is, or one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give is assume good intentions, right? I think, you know, especially as you're, you know, learning different things and getting good at technology and other things, and somebody comes to you and says, oh, do this, and it seems like a totally bad idea. They're not coming to you with a bad idea because they want to build a bad idea. It's because they think it's the right solution, right? They got up that morning and wanted to do the best job they could as well. So figure out how you can solve the problem that they're actually trying to solve and not necessarily the solution they're putting in front of you. I think that's something that I see, not just with you know, young software engineers, I've even seen with more experienced ones, that where if you can understand what you and your company or whatever wants to solve and be a part of coming up with that solution, it's better for everyone.
Definitely. That's amazing advice. And, you know, finally, can you ever see yourself moving back to Silicon Valley, or is it Germany all the way from here?
I don't know if it's Germany all the way. Silicon Valley, possibly. Probably, again, with the advent of remote work, less likely. A move to the US is always possible. My wife and I are kind of, fickle that way. And, you know, we don't plan too far ahead of time. But I mean, I think right now I'm very happy at GetSafe, and I think I plan on being here for the next few years. So that's a pretty solid bet for me.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to come on the show, Anthony. I've really enjoyed speaking to you. It's been really interesting. And yeah, keep up the amazing work you're doing, and speak to you soon.
Thank you. It was really great to chat. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform.